What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast Administrative Support for Athletic Training. This week, our guests are Jesse Lopez, my friend over at Dobie High School, where I graduated from, and Fred Roberts, a longtime school board member since 1993. You've been on the school board, so a long
24
time.
24 years.
And we were just discussing one of his sons is a year older than me. He went to Dobie High School as well, and I actually knew Zach there when we were going to school together at Dobie. So I think Zach played baseball.
He's a baseball player.
Yeah. Yep. So welcome. I am your host, Jeremy Jackson, and sitting right beside me today is
Kevin.
James.
Ben.
Jose.
If you want to join our conversation, you can check out sportsmedicinebroadcast.com. This episode is sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/schoolboard. So again, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/schoolboard, because we're talking to Fred Roberts from the school board, how we can get administrative support for athletic training. Jose is going to start us off with our first question. Jose.
Would you rather be sticky or itchy for the rest of your life?
The rules of this game are you can't change it. You can't say I would be itchy and put on lotion, or I'd be sticky and then go take a shower. So it has to be like this for the rest of your life. So ask it again, Jose.
Would you rather be itchy or sticky for the rest of your life?
For the rest of my life.
Why?
Why? Because irritating. Sticky is an issue that is I can get rid of. You need
Jesse,
more than that?
Jesse, same question.
Oh, me too? Well, after hearing that, I think I'd have to agree. I was like, yeah, because the itchiness would definitely become irritable. Or just I'd get irritated, frustrated with the fact that I'm itchy. The stickiness is I'd probably get used to it by the time I know it.
All right, so I think most of us said we'd rather be itchy than sticky, because, I mean, sticky, it's you can't do anything about it, right? You're just sticky. Itchy, you can at least choose not to scratch, I think, you know, depending on how severe it is.
No, I'd rather be sticky.
All right, that's fair enough. There's no wrong answer, so. All right, so now to Mr. Roberts. Tell us about your first experience with athletic trainers.
Oh, the first experience with athletic trainers would probably be in the early 70s, late 60s at Pasadena High School, as far as played basketball over here. And back then it was very limited as far as the trainer was actually a coach back in those days. They didn't have a designation of a true qualified, educated, advanced type of individual medical person that they do nowadays. So I would say late 60s, early 70s, Pasadena High School.
Then that would have been with Bill Hill. He was the first athletic trainer placed in a high school in PISD.
How long ago was that?
He has been here for 37 years, I believe.
No, I'm 40-something. Well, let's see. It may be.
Because he was the first one to work in a high school. John Smith worked at the district. He started here in 80, because I was born in 1981. Okay. He was here before I
was
born.
Here in the early 70s. I can't remember it. I cannot remember a trainer. The most you would get out of a trainer back in the early late 60s, early 70s was a coach, or someone might wrap your ankles up or something to that effect, but that right. was about the extent of it. You really didn't have the professionalism. You didn't have the knowledge. What you had more of anything else was just suck it up and get back out there and play, whether you were injured or not, which you will see nowadays that what has happened is that those people that are my age in the early 60s are suffering from injuries that they got early on that could have been helped or prevented, but they're not now.
I think that's what I've heard as well.
Sorry, I was hearing a snapping sound. Is somebody over there snapping?
You know what? Maybe it's this piece of paper here that I'm tearing apart.
Oh,
maybe
I think
I'll drop that.
I think that's what it was. It was sticking to your fingers.
Yeah, it sure was. Sorry about that.
No, that's all right.
Technical difficulty.
No worries. Okay. All right, so you've had some experience with athletic trainers. Now, whenever we presented our Disney field trip, which, by the way, it didn't pan out. We just didn't have enough support. But when we presented at the school board, you said, hey, guys, let me take a minute, and I want to tell you a story about Jesse.
Yeah.
And so you told about how you were injured and you went to a couple different people and they couldn't help you, you know, doctors or chiropractors or whatever it was. But then you went and saw Jesse and worked with him and he fixed the problem.
Correct.
All right. Can you tell a little bit more of that story?
Okay. Just real quick. Basically what happened is I ride cutting horses and I got thrown off the horse that evening. Of course I was fine, but the next day I could barely move. I had to do the caterpillar crawl out of the bed to get out of there, got to my toes, pushed myself up, and I had intense pain at going down my right leg. And so I went, which I've never been to, I went to a chiropractor. And the chiropractor, what he did was he yanked and pulled and so on and so forth. And then he told me I needed a massage, and be truthful with you, I wasn't big on that, but I went ahead and did that. And that fixed me for probably about 4 or 5 hours, but it wasn't long lasting. And it was very costly. Well, what I did the following couple of days later, because the pain was back, I went over to Dobie High School. I knew there's the district hires professionals that deal with pulls, strains, breaks, everything from, you know, from the beginning to death. I'll be truthful with you. Y'all deal with a lot of issues that people don't realize. And so anyway, I went over there. They told me some stretching exercises. Gave me I believe it's called a tinge machine, I believe. I'm not sure what it's called, but it was a piece of equipment that stuck to my back, lower back, and that was the great healer. That was the thing that made the difference, doing those stretches and using that piece of equipment, and I've been fine ever since. And still to this day, if I have an issue of a pain, which when you're 60 years old, you'll have pains, what I do is I go see Jesse or one of the trainers if he's not there and get some ideas on what I should be doing, and they seem to work.
All right, so tell me a little bit about the first time you went in to see Jesse. What was happening when you went in to see him?
What was happening? I believe, of course, I'd seen Jesse before, but I believe they were on their computers working on something. Hopefully it was something to do with schoolwork.
I'm sure.
And it was him and another. I've gone through a couple of different, he's had some assistant trainers that have worked with him. So I've gone through a couple of those. The first one I met was actually a lady that came from NASA and was working through the space program with the astronauts over there. And she worked with Jesse, but she's no longer there, I don't believe. And someone else is.
Okay. And so you go in and you talk to Jesse. You said you'd seen him several times before you first went in for the injury.
You know what? This is the deal. When you go in to see Jesse or another trainer, it's just basically like going into a doctor's office, in the sense that they're gonna, you know, ask you what's wrong or what your symptoms are, and they will then take their knowledge, their education, and give you remedies on how they would what they need you to do to solve the problems. A lot of the things that deal with someone like me is muscle related. So it's always been stretching exercises. One thing they showed me, something with a ball or something like that, rolling over, you know, it's taken not so much the skeletal, but the muscles and stretching them out, which really, really makes a big difference. It's a great service. I hope other people in the district, I don't know if they do, but hopefully they do. I tell my other board members they ought to go see them.
Okay, so I'm not very political. I'm not very, mm-hmm. I'm more of a, I'm going to say what I need to say, and then I'm not going to bother you anymore kind of thing.
Sure.
And my friend Bubba works at Memorial Hermann. He's kind of a talker. He talks a lot, and he'll talk to anybody. Mm-hmm. And so it's easy for him to go, shoot the breeze with the principal or with the school board, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And so if I wanted to build a relationship with you, with the school board, with my upper administrative staff, then how would I do that? Because you've already built one with Jesse, just because you've been poking in and he's taking care of you. So now you got a pretty good relationship.
You don't mind. Really, even before he had came to see me, I had already, like he said, I ran into him a couple of times. And before he had even come to see me with the injury, I I met him, Mr. Gadd, who's a pastor with the Sagemont Church. He, he works closely with our football team, so he had introduced me to Mr. Roberts. And so I had already been introduced to him. I had seen him around campus quite a few times. And, it's just a simple, hey, how's it going? How's everything going? And I think that's even how the back issue even presented it itself was just that, yeah, tell me, actually, I got this. And, of course, I told him, we'll come back to the back to our offices. And that's when we were able to actually, work with him and whatnot. So it's really just opening up that channel, I guess you can say, of, you come to us for some help if you need it. So I don't know how if
yeah, you no, agree, you're correct. You're correct. I felt very comfortable going and seeing Jesse. It's no problem whatsoever.
All right. So for somebody who doesn't have that interaction, because honestly, besides you being here, I haven't personally seen a school board member here on campus. I saw some of you guys at the game on Friday night, and that kind of thing, and say hi there. But other than that, how would I go about building that relationship,
that rapport, that yes, relationship? You know what? School board members are very open. Most people don't realize that. And school board members, about 8,000 employees. Okay. And so you have to make the effort as the trainer or a young person studying under one of the trainers. You've got to make the effort to go up, introduce yourself, say, my name is Bill Smith, and I'm the trainer over at Pasadena or Memorial or whatever the case may be, and say, hey, I'd like to invite you over to our campus to come see what we do and what we've got and so on and so forth. And then, I noticed you had a shirt on earlier that says something about Pasadena or whatever school year is. It's real important to market your program, okay? If you want to sit back in the back and be real quiet, not talk to the board members and really just stay away from them because you feel like they're different from you, then that's what's going to happen. You're going to end up staying back in the back, and they're not going to understand your position. You need to market yourself. I'll give you a quick example. These students that you have that work in your program that are in the sports medicine program, when I see them, I can recognize who they are. Normally, let me tell you how I can normally tell at a football game. It's real easy.
Khaki pants, clothes?
No. They've got water in their hand. But you know what? They're more than just water.
Right.
They're more than just people carrying water. They are. They would be called an amateur sports trainer, whatever. They should have gotten the education through you to learn what to do in case of an emergency. Most of your kids that are in the sports training medicine area are kids that played sports for whatever reason, and then maybe they don't run a 4.240, and maybe they still want to be involved in sports. Maybe they don't weigh 200 pounds, 250 pounds, but they still want to be involved in activities and in sports. And I can't think of one any better than the sports medicine program. That gets them on the field, that gets them being a part of. And be truthful, if these young people and the sports medicine wasn't there, you would have the same thing that you had back in the late 60s, early 70s. You would have injuries. They wouldn't be taken care of at that time. They would heal to a point, but not properly. That's the reason why nowadays doctors make such a great living repairing bones and joints and hips and knees, because nobody back during that period of time was taken care of them immediately. These people, I don't know, do they have, let me ask you a question, do y'all have a process in which your student athletes, and that's what I'm going to call them, because they're student athletes, just like the football, the basketball, and so on and so forth, because they're involved in sports and in athletics. Do y'all have a program that your kids compete against the other kids?
Not per se, like week to week, like a regular competition or sports team, but we do have the Greater Houston Athletic Trainer Society. They have a quiz bowl, and they have taping contests and poster contests. And Jesse and I do a lot of extra stuff. We're looking at taking our kids up to North Texas Athletic Trainer Society and having being part of their competitions and that kind of thing. But it's not Other than that, no. I mean, we have some.
Yeah, I know Friday night's football games where we compete is, or I always give my kids the task of getting to the athletes on a timeout before the other team does.
Or getting to the officials before the other team does, yeah.
Little tasks like that, performing, you know, first aid on the field during timeout or during a break, you know, little tasks that they can do that we can kind of compete, you know, sideline to sideline, sports medicine program to sports medicine program.
Mm-hmm.
That's one way we compete, but that's, again, just football season, really. It's kind of tough in the indoor sports to kind of have that sort of competition, even though the competitive nature is in everybody, really.
Right. Well, I mean, you've got these people that are involved in sports medicine, these students, they are competitors. There is no doubt in my mind that they are athletes and they are competitors. They're just taking it to another level. And wouldn't it be interesting to have an event, have all five high schools there where just like, have y'all ever seen the decathlon where they've got all these kids lined up and they get questions? There's no reason why these kids couldn't be participating in something very similar. Now, what you do, if you get something like going, what you then do is you contact Hope Perkins, who's the board secretary, and tell her, look, we're having a sports medicine competition. Our kids, each high school's got representatives there, and they will be there, and we would like to invite you. The board members will show up. You get all your other people that are involved in your sports medicine program, and make sure each one of these individuals brings their own cheering squad or whatever the case may be, and make it a competition, because it is. Which one, and it's more than just wrapping tape around an ankle. There's a reason of that injury, okay? And hopefully these kids understand what it is. Is it a muscle issue? Is it a skeletal issue? Is it so on and so forth? If I was to ask one of these young people, okay, I've got a pain in my calf, here it is right here, can you tell me what that is? First one raises their hand, whichever school, whether it's Pasadena, Memorial, Dobie, or whatever, he gets the first shot or she gets the first shot to answer. They answer it correctly, they get a point. I mean, there's a lot of things that y'all could do to bring attention to yourself in marketing and so on and so forth. They wear khaki pants and what color shirt?
For the varsity game, ours are khaki pants and our gray polos that says Pasadena Sports Medicine.
Oh, that's great. That's great. You've got to keep that in front of people. I mean, it's, you know, a lot of times I'll go by schools and so on and so forth, and I'll see the kids in the rooms or whatever the case may be. You'll see some of them working, some of them not working. There needs to be a process where all those kids are working and not just sitting around, because you get somebody like me or somebody else, they walk by there, all they see is these kids sitting around. I see you looking over here. I'm sitting around not doing anything. Well, that gives the wrong direction for the program. So there has to always be some sort of activity for the building towards. And maybe that would be that competition issue. You know, band does it, choir does it, football does it, basketball does it. Why doesn't sports medicine do it?
So I think even what he's saying, though, is just like, you know, we've talked several times just how during practices, keeping our kids involved, during athletic periods, having our kids have tasks to do throughout our athletic period, you know, whether it be making heel and lace pads, getting injury ice coolers ready for competitions in the gym. Just having, you know, if it's a checklist, if it's something, me and Ruth there at Adobe, we do a really good job of having something in order or in place that, of course, at the beginning of the school year is kind of, you know, wishy-washy because everyone's kind of learning the process. But right now at this time, especially it's the ending of football season, it's, you know, everything is pretty much down in stone. And so it's kind of implementing what's expected and what everyone already knows what, you know, seventh period has to do versus, you know, what we have to go, what's going to change after school now that football's going to be done. You know, so it's kind of implementing those things that, and always having a task for our kids to do and keeping them involved any which way. Just like he was saying that, like athletes do, they have an off season. Well, we really don't have that off season. So it's having those good habits of always staying on task, always doing something, not just sitting out of practice waiting for something to happen.
you know, okay, let's go check on that court, this court, that field. It's just always making your rounds, always doing something, and making the, even if you're not doing anything technically, you're still doing something by making your rounds, by asking a coach if they need anything, stuff along those lines. Athletes.
All right, so you're kind of saying that snapshot where you don't know fully what's going on, but you can see that kids are laying on the treatment tables.
You don't see them all the time. When you go into it, doesn't matter, and every school is the same way. It's not the same. Those kids sometimes need to be, and they may just be studying when they're laying on that what do y'all call that? Treatment table or something. They could be studying or visiting. But I think if there was some type of competition, because these are competitors. These young people here are not taking a slough off cat course. This is not a course to take if you just want to be lazy. This is a course, the sports medicine course is a class that you take to learn something. And it's more than just about football. It's a life learning thing you learn. If you learn how to do something correctly, if you learn how to take care of an injury, that's something that will go with you whether you're in high school or whether you're going down I-45 up in Dallas and you come up on an accident and somebody is there that is injured. If you have taken that training seriously, if you're one of these young people, you may be the only person that gets out of their car on I-45 and helps that person. And it could be the difference between life or death. And these kids can do that. They can be there. I don't know if y'all teach them how to use a defibrillator.
Actually, these kids know very well. We've used it at least a dozen times. Yeah, because we have the practice ones there.
Isn't that great?
We have simulators. Our job, our profession, we have to always be, our mentality is always the worst case scenario. And we don't ever want to be a deer in the headlights in a worst case scenario. So we'd rather teach and educate our students or our profession for that most. Well, everyone knowing what to do in any situation, hopefully.
But see, that's not. You know, going back to your question, how can we do a better job with administration, with boards, and so on and so forth? You know, I've never heard that. Never, and I've been there 24 years. I've never heard that's what y'all do. I've never heard anything about y'all's course studies. I've never had anyone come in there and talk about what y'all do. So. Is it because I haven't wanted to, or is it because someone hadn't educated? And so these kids are like the robotics program. Everybody knows about the robotics program, and they'll have us come over there and look at the robotics and this and that. And they go to competition. But nobody is telling us about y'all's company. Telling us about the idea of maybe going, where'd you say, Austin?
We went to Austin last year. We're wanting to go to North.
Trying
Texas.
To go to Dallas.
Now, there you go. See, somebody needs to tell us about that. Sell y'all's program. Y'all got a great program. You've got student athletes that are in your program. Y'all teach a life. You know, you go to school, you learn math. You should know that the remaining part of your life, at least the basics part of it. When you get into calculus, that's a little bit expanded, and you're not going to, maybe you may not use that the rest of your life.
Right.
But one of these young people learning how to use a defibrillator may save somebody's life downtown Houston if they can get their hands on a defibrillator. Right. And we're seeing those things more and more. And of course, you know, some of them will take a medicine career from just what they've learned here. But most of them are going to take what you learned and use it in the later process.
Jesse, I don't know that I've told you this, but 2 years ago we had a girl in our math CPR training that we're doing, mm-hmm. that we did, and I think you were here teaching the conscious choking.
Right.
That's what you've been doing.
Right.
But she actually used that to save her mom's life. So,
awesome.
So she came in and told one of the assistant principals, and she was real hesitant about telling us, but mm-hmm. she ended up telling us, and that same day that I talked to her, I met her mom. And how amazing is that for me to know that I was a part of her mom standing here that day.
Yeah.
You were definitely. A part of her mom yeah, standing here that day.
Definitely. Yeah,
and again,
that's awesome.
Why did I not tell you about, why haven't I? So we're actually working on getting a video of them telling their story so that I can put
great.
Out. But just like you're saying, I should have said, hey, check out what we're doing. Hey, this is what we've done.
You know, that's not, you know, a lot of people might look at that and go, I don't want to brag about it or whatever. you know what? I guess it goes back to that deal where it's not bragging if it's fact.
True.
And people need to know those things. There's more good things that go on in the school district than there are bad things. But the only things you ever hear about are the bad things.
Yeah.
Why not pat yourself on the back and be truthful with you? We like to hear about that kind of stuff. What happens when you're a school board member? You get elected by one vote. All you got to have is one more vote than the other guy, and all of a sudden you become an educational expert. I mean, that's it, one vote. And the first year or two as a school board member, you are just lost. I mean, you are lost trying to figure out what's going on. You don't know as much as the janitorial staff or a teacher or administrator. You're just lost. You're just trying. They're using acronyms and this and that. You're going, you're just kind of looking around. Well, feed us as much information as you've got. If you don't feed the information to us, then shame on you.
And let me, do you mind?
No.
What medium would we use? Would an email be, correct?
Well,
how would we get in contact of letting y'all know this information?
You furnish it to Hope Perkins.
Okay.
Send the stuff to Hope Perkins, and you tell her that, hey, Mr. Roberts says that he'd be interested in knowing about what's going on in our sports medicine program. And I will get it, and every board member gets
awesome.
The same information. But that story you just told me about the young lady that saved her mother, how cool is that? The choking game that, Jesse, you say you're dealing with,
I was helping with CPR. That was my I guess, portion of the
he was teaching that skill.
Isn't that a crazy deal?
Right.
Isn't that?
I've had a couple instances as well, like before we even had the mass CPR, I mean, I had a student trainer because we teach all of our student trainers first aid and CPR, just a part of being in our programs. Our students had an issue, almost a similar issue, where it was a family member
playing the choking game.
Yeah, and they ended up, having to use our skills.
Well, they weren't. They were just choking, right? Not playing the game.
Right. They weren't. Yeah. They actually, choked and whatnot. And it was, of course, saved the life and whatnot. Which we always tell the kids or the students that this is always a you never know kind of situation. But it's I'd rather them know the information and how to react versus just sit there and not be able to do anything for their loved ones.
Yes. Yeah. And number one, they need to know that games like that kill. I mean, just like car wrecks, just like guns, the choking game kills too. Mm-hmm. And if they're aware of that, if this young person here beside us, if he's been educated that something like that can be deadly to himself, I feel like he's probably smart enough not to participate in it. But if they don't know about it, they might participate in it, and then it may be too late. But, that's great that these kids know that when a situation like that happens, that they can make the difference in somebody's life. I mean, sometimes it's something simple that really makes a big difference. You don't have to be a surgeon.
I know Kat Moore is listening live. Something that she works at Klein Collins High School. Something Klein ISD does is they have a student trainer competition. So maybe we can get with her just with their district. And so maybe we can get with her and get some of that information.
I want to say too, Kathy Supak was saying, mentioning something as well that she's done in the past in her previous years that, she would like for us to implement something like that as well. So it's just a matter, I think, of, trying to get every avenue involved and trying to actually get something like that going.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool to have in a gym and have all the schools come in there and compete a couple of times a year.
Definitely.
Now, I'll be truthful with you. Are the kids at Pasadena as smart as the kids at Dobie? And are the kids at Dobie as smart as the kid at Pasadena Memorial? And
the kids are smart. But I don't know about the adults.
The adults are not sure about, but the kids.
Yeah, the kids are
the
smart.
Kids you feel pretty, just think about the competition. There is nothing. These are student athletes that y'all are educating. And they love, these kids love competition. And it's something I think that y'all could probably take advantage of. And that would bring a lot of recognition to y'all's your program.
So not just putting it on, but inviting people and telling people about it.
Oh, sure, sure. Okay. Everybody else does.
Well, not just that. I think the kids are really get a kick out of, having a crowd. It's going to make them want to retain the information that much more, want them to learn the information that much more. And that's what really we're, I think, Jeremy, you'd agree that that's what our profession is we're trying to just spread the knowledge of sports medicine, of the medical world, you know? So I agree with you.
Well,
it's going to be awesome.
It's educating. It's preparing them for a worst case scenario. And they will have to, just like they, the football teams will use that because it's that season. They have to prepare for the game. These young student athletes that you have with you, they will have to prepare for the game. And that will make them, you'll study, won't you?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. But it would really be a cool deal. And what I would do is I would send that invite out to the board members. I'd contact your papers, contact your South Belt leader. Those people out there would be more than happy to do that. You know, the educating with the defibrillators, the CPR classes. I don't know if the district has anybody who is CPR certified to instruct.
Yeah, each one of us athletic trainers of the district are.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be a great idea to say, okay, look, this Saturday we're going to teach people how to truthfully or to efficiently administer CPR. I've gone through two different programs. The latest one, it was a couple of years ago through the Heart Association, mm-hmm. where you no longer breathe in the mouth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they came out with another one with a mouth thing, but lately you don't breathe in the mouth, you just steadily pump.
Right, hands only CPR, yeah.
Until somebody, a trained professional like yourself, gets there. And so most people probably wouldn't know that. Most people would say, okay, I hold their nose, they're blowing the thing, count to three.
Well, see, I mean, going off of that, you said just the mass, getting with everybody, you know, just having an open, pretty mass CPR training of some sort. Jeremy put on one where pretty much all of Pasadena, the school itself, every student pretty much, was it every student or was it just the freshman class, Jeremy?
It was the entire freshman class. And so, this year will be the fourth year when we do it in March. Okay. So,
wow.
So every freshman class so far in the past 4 years now, Jeremy?
Three years. This will be the fourth year
so
this year.
They've taught that entire class.
So you don't know how many lives you've saved in the future.
No
you
idea.
Don't have a clue. It may be one. What's the value of one? What's the value of 10 or 20
there
or
is
100?
There is no value to that.
No.
Sorry. That's invaluable.
It's awesome. Great program. Yeah.
No.
All right, so I got a question again from Kat Marr. She said, who is Hope Perkins? Because
who is Hope Perkins?
Well, I know who she is. She's the school board secretary, right?
Right.
Okay, so that's essentially what she was asking, so that she can get in touch with that person in her district. So
right. Go contact. There's two areas you can go to. In our district, we go to Hope Perkins. In her district, depending on who it is, it could be the board secretary, or it could be would have a media person that sends out notices.
Which in ours is Renee Ivy Sim. So, all right. And so, kind of as we kind of continue there, a quick shout out to Chris Shattuck. His episode released this morning that's about Promote Your Athletic Training Program. He does a lot of this stuff really well as well over at Dawson High School. Promoting their sports medicine program. And so check out that episode there. Again, it's on the sportsmedicinebroadcast.com. But here we're talking with Fred Roberts, one of our school board members. And one of the items on my agenda is to provide adequate care for all athletes in Pasadena ISD. And so I would like to see us as a district move to providing athletic trainers for the middle school athletes, for the, you know, ones that are at the seventh and eighth grade, because my brother-in-law is a coach over at Bondi.
Okay.
Stephen Aaron, I don't know if you know him, but he's seen, you know, broken clavicles and arms and legs and concussions, and they're not equipped to deal with that. And so what is going to be best way for me to prepare, and then persuade you as a school board to move that direction? Like, if somebody's looking for that information, what do you want to see as a school board member? What do you want? What plan do you want me to have? That kind of thing.
Well, what we look at, of course, I hate to use the word, but budget's one number we look at. The other issue is once again, education. Now, I remember, most of us, most board members are only as good as the information. Okay. And so you said broken clavicles, broken arms, legs, sprains, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But have y'all furnished the school board with, or does anybody furnish the district or to us the number of treatments that y'all do? Or does anybody furnish? Nobody furnishes us anything.
No, we don't. We haven't.
And well, actually, then that's something that I think Jeremy and I have been discussing for the past, 2 years now, probably. I know we've kind of created documents where we can better document or, I guess, dictate what how many treatments are that we have going on. I know I have a running Google document that's our sign-in sheet there at Adobe that I can literally bring up an entire chart of what types of treatments, what types of injuries I'm seeing coming through my training room. And I've been doing that for about a year now. Mm-hmm. And so, you know,
what do you do with it?
And that's the thing. Now that you're telling me that I can probably present that to you, that I'm sure that information will. And Jeremy has been asking for it as well. So, I mean, it's kind of one of those things that those numbers will definitely, you know, have some sort of, you know, use definitely once, you know, called upon, I'm sure.
We get information from the police department as far as what type of citations, et cetera, et cetera. We get reports on which kids or which grade levels have more infractions and so on and so forth. We get nothing from sports medicine, just being straight and blunt.
Yes, that's perfectly fair.
And so...
Well, no, I mean,
from what... that's a fact. Now, we have to go off what the superintendent tells us and so on and so forth. So are y'all furnishing that information to the superintendent, better educating her and her cabinet? We can only do so much as far as what we have, because if we're not furnished the information, if the superintendent and her cabinet are not furnished information, you know, we don't know. And it's not because we don't want to know. It's because it's not furnished to us.
Okay, so there's two questions I have. One is going to be, what other information besides just the number of treatments do you think would be beneficial? And then two, again, we've talked about building rapport. Is it going to be just best for me to email, or do I request a time to present to the board at a school board meeting and go over these stats? So take either one of those, the best way to present it, and then the information.
Okay, I'm trying to understand exactly your first question. Exactly, repeat the first question again.
What information would you want to see? You know, I mean, obviously, I could tell, hey, our mass CPR training that we're doing is saving lives. It's already proven because here's the story, and then I could show that video. And then what? You know, this is how many treatments at Pasadena High School we've done. And I know some athletic trainers will take the insurance equivalent of those items, so like of an ice bag, of a hour of rehab, of an evaluation, and show the cost or the savings, like the cost of what I do if they were going to a doctor's office. Does that matter to you at all, that kind of thing?
Well, I'm not exactly sure what you're exactly
what
saying.
Data would help you make
what
a
data
decision?
Would help me?
Yes.
You know what? The data that would help me would be to tell me, you know, if I were y'all, I would try to get 10, 15 minutes at the board. You got to watch it, because you take too many minutes and you lose people.
Right.
They've got a lot of issues. And I would go in there, and number one, I'd go in there and I'd say, you know what? We really appreciate your help, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But I just feel like, you know, like the football team, like the baseball team, like the basketball team, we're student athletes, and we just wanted to let you know what we're doing. I did. You know, I'd say, you know what, this past year we treated over district-wide. They'd give you a bigger number. District-wide, we treated over, I must just use hypothetical numbers. We treated over 500 broken arms. We treated over 100 clavicles. Now, granted, we've got 60-something schools, but we treated all these. We did this. We did this. We prevented two deaths. We did this. We, you know what? And I think what's going to happen is you're going to get 7 people, 8 people, or whatever the case may be, and we're all going to sit there and go, wow. You know, because we just don't know. It's not that we don't care. It's just that we don't know.
Right. So what I'm getting, Jeremy, is the fact that the communication between athletic trainers or sports medicine in general and school board staff or the administrative staff, there's a blockage somewhere.
Right.
So really it's just finding a way to open it up. So,
you know, you need to
get in that pathway.
Get with your superintendent and tell them, and of course we know who y'all's is, but just tell them, say, hey, look, we want to promote our program. And we've got some ideas. Who do I need to talk to do this? And just tell them what your ideas are. And you know what? Pat yourself on the back. Blow your own horn. I mean, it's a great program. It's a great educational program. It's a program of life learners. It's something that you need to be talking about. And then when people realize, wow, you know what? We had this happened at the junior high school level. We'll know.
Right. I agree.
All right. So for us, the best way would be to go through the channel. Like the superintendent.
Right. School districts have channels of communication. And most of the time, it's if they don't get communicated, it's only because somebody didn't want to.
All right.
What's your name?
Jose Castillo.
Good job.
Okay. So in those, you know, you've talked about just kind of list the things that we've done. You know, we've treated this many arms or this many ankles.
There you go. And your name is? There you go.
Thank you.
You bet. Your name was?
Ben.
Ben what?
Alvarado.
There you go. There
Come
you
on,
go.
Ben. I see you guys tomorrow. All right. So what are some of the small things that would help my presentation? Like if I come up there with a PowerPoint or if I come up with the video or like, is it really just my presentation skills that are going to make the big difference? Because usually the difference is in the details. So I can sway you one way or another by the small things. What are some of the small things that would really turn you off or turn you on towards the?
Yeah. Number one, you're not going to sway. You're not going to sway. But what you're going to do is you're going to educate. And a better educated board is a better board. And I think you'd find that out. Everybody would say the same thing. If we know more about it, we're more apt to look at it. And so in a presentation, we're looking for a 5 to 10 minute presentation. What I would do is start out, you know, we're just tossing it around. You know what? Show a, just start out with something big at the, I don't know, video, and then go from there and show your kids, show what's going on. We're learning this. They're sitting in front of computers. They're doing hands-on. They're at the games, they're participating, and so on and so forth. A couple of small interviews, especially if you have senior trainers that, you know, that can just in a paragraph tell us what they've learned and such and what it's meant to them. And so that kind of stuff goes a long way.
That's actually something I've been trying to get done with our JFD TV, our little news media relations people, is just getting almost like a commercial of sort, just to a 1 minute, 2 minute little spiel, I guess, on, you know, us doing our, you know, our jobs, our tape jobs, treatment, having little interviews, like you just said, of, you know, the significance of what the athletic, and these are athletes that they might interview, like why their athletic trainer is important to them, that kind of thing. And then something like that, not only would that be, I would use that as a marketing deal to promote or to get more recruits into my program, but two, it'll definitely probably be useful to them as well, because it'll kind of get them, you know, the knowledge of what else we do besides the football games that they see us at.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's where we primarily see y'all. We see you at the football game. And I'm glad you've got the shirts that say sports medicine on the back of them, because a lot of times, and you ought to make those kids wear those shirts, whether they're at a football game, basketball game, track, whatever the case may be. They ought to be wearing something that identifies them from the other kids. They're part of the team, but you need something that's identifying the other. You know, little blurbs. I think in the schools they do little blurbs, don't they, on certain days? They have a little film or something like that. Maybe come up with a safety program. And what I mean by that, it would be show one of the kids walking up to one of the other kids with a sport trainer shirt on and says, "Hey, I think I sprained my ankle. Is it hot then cold, or cold then hot, or do I wrap it with tape, or what exactly do I do?"
Go see your trainer.
Go see your trainer. But there should be a simple process in what you're doing. Don't you put hot before cold, or cold before hot, or does it really matter?
You're supposed to use ice for the first day, and then after that, you can heat if you want. And usually we use ice only to manage the pain. So,
see there? There's something right there that if that was a little blurb somewhere, there, or something that was handed out or whatever the case may be, just mm-hmm. simple facts, you know,
yeah.
That's really pretty cool stuff and simple. What do you do if you come up on somebody who's unconscious?
Call 911.
Well, you call 911.
Yeah.
But 911 may be 30 minutes away. What do you do?
But just a short reminder, hey, you know, like Jesse said on the TV, hey, you come up on someone who's unconscious, you check them, make sure they're not bleeding. You call 911, you stay there with them for help. And then,
you know, there's lots of things that we don't do or we don't see on a regular basis that y'all understand. Y'all are the people that should be telling us this stuff, what we're supposed to do. And it's really pretty crazy. I did the MS-150 for years and years and was a bicycle rider. Then I became one of the, what they called motorcycle marshals in it. I had three people when I was sitting there on my motorcycle, waiting, watching the people go across the street. Had three people that came up to me and they were severely dehydrated. That was a crazy issue. And they told us some things to do. And I did those, but I was there for a period of time with three people basically comatose. And that'll get your attention. Well,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's a little simple knowledge goes a long way in y'all's business. You know, we can't take it to the extreme that y'all do, but
right.
Simple things.
So I just asked Bill, and he's in there watching live, and he said up to this point, the people that we've had signed in is 865 treatments so far this year. So that obviously doesn't include things that are on the field or, you know, things that we do like in the gym, because we don't bring them back in and sign them in usually. So yeah.
That's for this school year?
It's just so far this school year.
Wow.
I'm sure yours is probably double, Jesse.
Oh, yeah. No doubt. Yeah, I'll have to get to those numbers when I get back to the school.
How important is that?
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, just last night,
we're not even injured. Mid-semester yet.
Right?
Right.
One of the things that I was talking to Jesse about at the game on Friday was, and I just talked to several different people at my school, is a faculty injury clinic. So just saying, hey, Pasadena High School, we're going to be here on this day. If you got some injury, come down and see us.
Mm-hmm.
And so something like that, is that something I should invite the school board to, or just say, hey, well, this is what we did. This is how many people we saw.
Of course, it's something that you've run through your principal.
Right.
Okay. And you know what? It's very appropriate to invite the school board members. Very appropriate. If you have a function, then you are more than welcome to, you run it through the board secretary and the superintendent and they get it to us. But you'd probably be surprised. People will show up. Board members will show up. We get invited to a lot of things, but that one's really pretty. I mean, that's a pretty interesting deal, what you've got going on.
Yeah. And the whole thing is we're just seeing how we can add value as athletic trainers, because, you know, I want to be able to add value to those middle schools so that they can mm-hmm. be properly cared for, the physicals and the legalities of the concussions and all that stuff properly taken care of. I want to be able to add value here by doing the CPR, by doing the injury clinic, by, you know, I got a kid with a broken ankle that I'm going to drive over to the pool so he can get workouts in, because, you know, I want him to get better. I want to be able to add value. Whereas I think a lot of the times we look to better our own situation. And I think I'm just realizing I need to figure out how I can better other people's situation. How can I add value to the school rather than uh-huh. how can I get more? And so that's really, do you have any other things that I might be able to do, Jesse might be able to do, to add value to the school or to Pasadena ISD?
You know what? Y'all are a vital part of this school and to the district. There's no doubt about that. But you're also one of those, it's kind of like a steering wheel. Every car has one, but you really don't, you know it's there, but you don't know how it works. You don't know the integral parts of it. We know you're there. We know that you're going to guide us, but we don't know how you work. And so the more you educate me or my fellow board members or the superintendent and so on and so forth, the more we're going to understand what you do versus just knowing, well, there's the trainer and there's seven other young people out there with him and they run out to the field. Well, we don't know. Other than that, we don't know. And we don't know what you're doing. We don't, you know, you told me about the defibrillators, all these young people a while ago, you told me that they were all familiar with that. That's pretty amazing. That's pretty amazing when you think about it. The CPR, I'm sure, I guess these kids have gone through the CPR training. That's amazing. You don't know how many people's lives you're going to save. Maybe none of them will come into that situation, and that'd be great too. But if they do, to admit, wow. You talked about the choking game and so on and so forth. That's very dear and near to the hearts of a lot of the Vicky board Morgan, members because yeah. We've experienced that issue. You know, just all I can tell you is educate us. We want the education. We want to know what y'all are doing. We don't want to be in y'all's business. You know, we don't want to make decisions that are not ours to make. But the more you educate us, the better we are. The less you educate us, the less you can complain or you can say we're not doing our part. Because your part to us is to educate us and let us know what's going on. The fact, why did you say 800 and some odd this semester?
Yeah, wow. So it was just through the first 9 weeks-ish.
Yeah, wow. Isn't that amazing? I mean, think about what it is district-wide. Then add the intermediate schools with it and see what you've got there. And so
with those numbers like that, would that help to kind of for like if we educate. Were to present that to y'all, you know, just informative wise, would that help to make decisions based sports medicine wise? Like if we wanted to expand or
like the Dowie ninth grade campus, you know, if we wanted to say we would like to have an athletic trainer on the ninth grade campus because this is how many injuries we see and this is, you know, and here is some of the data. And so
What that will do is this. You've got a principal, okay? You've got a principal, of course. You've got a cabinet, and you've got a superintendent. And remember, when you're educating us, you're educating them also. Because I guarantee, I can't say this for a fact, but I'll bet you that no one has told Steve Fullen, who is y'all's associate superintendent, that there's been 800-some-odd accidents over here. I call them accidents, injuries. Because that's the true word, because they weren't. But you're educating him, you're educating us. And when we get word about that kind of stuff, we're concerned, but we rely on those individuals to say, look, if we can find the money, we really need to put another person over here or that. We rely on them heavily. But if you don't educate us, we don't even know what you're talking about. We really don't. We're an uneducated sports medicine group of individuals. At least I am. I can't speak for the other six. Maybe they are. I'm not.
Okay.
But when it comes to the point in time that I've got to make a decision to vote on that additional person or those additional funds, what I will tell you is that it will make a whole lot more sense spending an additional $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $60,000, or $100,000 because here's the issues. I remember hearing about this. But otherwise, you know, it's kind of like going to your, do you ever go to your dad or your mom and tell them you needed $20?
Yep.
They didn't just hand you 20. Didn't they ask you what it was for?
Usually.
Well, there you go. Same process. But you've got to educate everybody from, I'm going to say from your principal on up, because they've only got so many dollars to spend and you need to show why yours is so important. And that's basically how it works.
All right. So on that same line, like if I got kind of a presentation together and, you know, say, hey, Mr. Saavedra, this is what I would like to do. And maybe he's not sold on it. Maybe I haven't done a good job of presenting it to him, or maybe he's too busy to do it. I'm not saying that about Mr. Saavedra, but
yeah.
So is there, what's the best way to kind of continue educating at the next level? Cause do I need to tell here in Passing
you need,
ISD?
You need to always, you need to always let that guy know. And Mr. Saavedra wouldn't, I wouldn't think have any problems with y'all promoting your own program. Football team promotes its program. The, band promotes their program. Other and I, you know, y'all part of the athletic program. The only difference is y'all go outside the athletic area. Let somebody fall in the hall, and who are they going to call? You know, they're going to call the math teacher.
So, okay.
I don't think you'll have any problems with that issue. You're just trying to make us a better educated board and administration. You know, like I said, you get elected by one vote, and all of a sudden you're an expert.
There you
I'm
go.
I'm lucky. I've been there 24 years. I understand the acronyms.
All right. So I do have one final question.
Okay.
Jesse is wearing gym shorts and a t-shirt. Mm-hmm. I'm wearing khaki pants and a polo. Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned beforehand the snapshot, right? So does that make a difference when you walk by my athletic training room, see me doing the exact same thing Jesse was doing over at Adobe, but I'm wearing khaki pants and a polo versus gym shorts and a t-shirt? Does that really, like, oh, or is like, ah, well, they're just doing their job?
You know, there again, whatever the rules or the principal or whoever sets for y'all's dress attire is the ultimate goal. But depending on the situation, I prefer to see people dress up in for the instance. In other words, if you're at a basketball game or you're at a football game, you're out there in a pair of gym shorts and a t-shirt, you look like you're out there in a pair of gym shorts and a t-shirt. If you're out there in a pair of nice slacks and a shirt, you wouldn't see the doctor over there wearing a pair of gym shorts and a t-shirt, chances are.
Right.
You'd see him. You know, I'm one of those that says dress up, don't dress down. It's easy to dress down. Always dress up. But depending on your situation, you don't want to wear slacks if you're chasing kids down a basketball court. But it will just vary. So yeah. Was I offended by what he was wearing? No. No.
So, but, again, that's not personal.
If I was making
Jesse,
a presentation in front of the board, I would dress up.
Oh, definitely. You know? So that's always – because it's been an issue – or people have presented that issue with me several times. And I invite them to come see what I do throughout my day. And throughout my day, my attire is completely different than what I am come game time. So throughout my day, I'm outside with bungees. I'm outside with parachutes. I'm pulling kids. I'm stretching kids. I'm all over the place. So the gym shorts work for me. Luckily, I've been my principals and my staff have been compliant, or they've allowed me to wear stuff like that. But if they had issue with it, I'm definitely whatever it is that they ask of me. But
you know, whatever you're doing, dress for success.
Right.
And that's an old term, but dress for success. And if dress accordingly.
Right. Know? Well, it's with me, and we stress this to our student athletic trainers, is the fact that, you know, you never know, especially come game time. You said y'all did at all the football games for the most part. I mean, again, that's a perfect point right there why the attire come, either whether it be a professional or one of our students. That way you never know whose eyes are going to be on you and who make the comment that that's not very well, you know, dressed.
All right. So, again, I know what Jesse does, and I respect what he does over there. I've taken a lot of information from him, so it's not personal. But it was we were discussing, you know, getting things done, and that was what that was about. So, Roberts, if somebody wants to contact you and maybe continue this conversation a little bit more, what's the best way to do that?
You know, I don't mind giving people my cell number, 713-269-9674, 713-269-9674. Otherwise, they can contact me through Hope Perkins. And Hope Perkins' number is, you want the school district's phone number?
No, I can pull up her email here in just a second. But while we're looking that up, Jesse, someone wants to get a hold of you. What's the best way?
If you're trying to reach me, you can go to the Adobe website. They're at jfrankdobe.org, I believe.
PassingISD.org.
No, well, yeah, you can go to the Pasadena, I guess, ISD and look up Dobie High School, and there's a sports medicine tab there under athletics. And I have my email address, jrlopez@pasadenaisd.org. That's definitely going to reach me. I get that on my cell phone and there on my school computers. And then you can just call me anytime at any of the at Dobie High School as well.
Did you find it?
Yeah, Hope Perkins' phone number to the district is 713-740-0243. 713-740-0243. And her email is hperkins, P-E-R-K-I-N-S, at PasadenaISD.org. And she can get hold of any of us.
So if you want to find out a little bit more, maybe just ask a few more pointers before you go speak with your school board, then maybe a good way to get those kind of details or those things worked out. And again, this is Fred Roberts, one of our longtime school board members. This episode is sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/schoolboard. And this is sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/schoolboard. As we're bringing the football season to a close here in Houston or in Texas, don't forget to take care of your hydration carts. And again, I made a video with Robbie from Frio Hydration about some of the best ways to do that, packing the bearings, greasing, and cleaning things. So check that video out. It's on the YouTube channel. It's also on the sportsmedicinebroadcast.com. And then if you want to contact me, all of the links are there on my website. And I'm Mr. Jeremy Jackson on Twitter. So check that out, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/schoolboard. So for Jeremy, Sports Medicine One Kids that left a little while ago, Mr. Fred Roberts, Jesse Lopez, that's a wrap.